This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 14, 2017, the fifth Sunday of Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
We come in here week after week, day after day. We read Scripture, we hear the claims of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought of the boldness of that statement? He who has seen me has seen the Father. There are billions of people on the face of this planet who grope in darkness to find God, to find that higher being, whatever they want to call it. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. There is no reason for groping in the darkness. Hence, I am the light of the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ is claiming to be God. Jesus never claims to be God. That's ridiculous. Absolutely. He does it a lot of times, but hardly ever more explicitly than this. He who has seen me has seen the Father. You know, no one else has made a statement like that in the past. No prophet has ever said, I'm God. None. Law keeping, doing things, dotting I's and crossing T's to get in with God is ancillary. It's something that's on the side. It is our desire to attain God, to reach Him, to see Him. And the only way you do that is through Jesus Christ. Him and Him alone. Hence His very bold statement that we will speak of later, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. When our Lord Jesus Christ claims to be God, and again, that's exactly what it is, He is claiming that I, the one who speak to you, apostles, disciples, and it's not a history lesson, that's us, He is claiming that He with God is one nature and one substance. He is in essence the Father. And the other side of that coin is rejection of our Lord Jesus Christ. To say that He is not the Son of God. To say that He is not the Messiah. Rejection of Jesus Christ is rejection of Almighty God. That's what our Lord says. We understand that. We're Christians. Do you understand that? Do you understand that it is God who speaks to you? In understanding that, well, of course we do, because we're Christians. Well, it's not that obvious to His apostles, the ones who walked with Him for 3 years. 3 years they're with Him. They listen to His teachings. They listen to His teachings. They watch Him do things, such things like walk on water, control wind and the waves, peace be still. It doesn't say He said, peace be still, and everything started to calm down. He said, peace be still, and the water became as glass. Instantly. They watched Him look at people and tell them that He forgave them of their sins. They watched Him raise the dead. Well, there have been others that raised the dead. Elijah raised a dead kid. He did after he prayed fervently to God and went through all kind of rituals, praying that God would raise the son. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not ever pray to God, for instance, at Lazarus' tomb, to raise anyone. He looks at the tomb and says, "Lazarus, come forth." He has the authority to give and take life. These apostles have watched him do these things. And show us the Father. All those works are proper to God and God alone. Only God does that stuff. Only God. They knew the scriptures. They knew that only God controls the chaos, the wind and the waves. They knew that only God forgives sins. The Pharisees went off when Jesus said, looked at someone, "Your sins are forgiven you." Blasphemer. No one forgives sins except God. Jesus sure gave him the holy eye roll and was thinking, yeah, you're absolutely right. And I just forgave his sins because I am God. All those things are proper to God. So these men walked with him for 3 years and watched him do works that are only proper to God, and they didn't get it. We got to check ourselves. We got to examine ourselves and make sure that we get it. Because we're not seeing the works. We have his words. Our Lord even takes it to that extreme with Philip. Actually, that's what St. Augustine says, that speaking of this passage, that's why he chastises Philip. And yes, he chastises him for not getting it. "Philip, have you been so long with me and do not know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." He said, "If you don't want to believe that I tell you that, you should just believe because you've seen me do things that only God does. I'm God, Philip. I'm God, Thomas." That's his claim. Now, this can sound very theological. It can sound very propositional. It's not. As a matter of fact, it's very, very practical for us. When Jesus Christ was incarnate in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, he brought eternity into time. I say quite frequently when we're talking about the Eucharist, I say in the Eucharist, as it is celebrated in the Roman Catholic Church, the priesthood, in apostolic succession, it is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is not a reenactment of the Lord's Supper. It is a time when the barriers of time and space fall away. It's that time when we are one with our Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. God, Jesus Christ, brings eternity into time. Is it, well, do we go back to Calvary or does he bring it up to us? Yes. Eternity doesn't work like that. There's not point A and point B. It's eternity. We're just in it. And that's what the Eucharist is. The Roman Catholic Eucharist is a little inkling of us being brought into eternity. That's not just propositional. That's why we act the way, or should act the way we do in worship, with reverence and veneration. There are people outside the faith who say, they couldn't really believe that that's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. They could not believe that because they couldn't act that way in the church. If they thought for a moment that that was really God, they could not act the way they do. That's the way we should approach him, with reverence and awe, as we are instructed in the book of Hebrews. Because Jesus Christ has brought eternity into time, and first and foremost, through the Eucharist. Now, we do hear the Word of God. Facts about Jesus and the things that he did for us, they are rooted in history. But you don't look for Jesus Christ in history. There's actually a theological school, very liberal, looking for the historical Jesus. Put Jesus in a box. He's God. He's eternal. He's not a history lesson. We don't have a historical Jesus. You can't come up with a Jesus for just today, the social justice warrior Jesus. It falls short. He's much more than that. The eternal Son of God. He is rooted in history, but he has power over today. In the first reading today, the book of Acts, read at the time the church was being multiplied greatly. Thousands were coming into the church. That was through the work of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. He wasn't there anymore in body. He was there in the Eucharist, and he was there in his Holy Spirit. And he was bringing people out of darkness into light. He brought his apostles out of darkness into light. He brought those early church believers from darkness into light. He is bringing people this very day from darkness into light. And he will continue to do that as long as he tarries, as long as he deems it necessary. He will continue to bring people from darkness into light because he has power over today. Not just our today, but everybody's today. And it should be a real comfort to know that he has that same power over eternity. You know, we can read the Gospels and they can kind of go in one ear and out the other, but you should be attentive to what he's saying. Start the Gospel today. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me, because I'm God. In my Father's house are many rooms. Some of your older versions say many mansions. I like it is technically in the Greek rooms. The mansions kind of gives us a vision that, you know, you got your own place up there, like you're two blocks down and four over from the Lord. No, you're living in his house. Okay? There are many rooms in his house. He said, if it weren't so, I wouldn't have said that I'm going to prepare a place for you. He has power over tomorrow, just like he has power over today, just like he had power yesterday to raise himself from the dead. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. With him, there is no variation or shadow of change. He continues to live. He continues to be active because he's God. He is the eternal one. He clothed himself in flesh and brought that eternity to us. And by virtue of our baptisms and by virtue of the Eucharist, he gives us an inkling of eternity, even in this world. That's why when you hear me say, or you hear any father say, about the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior, that should be so deep for you, because you are being brought into eternity through the Eucharist. That's why Jesus Christ can make the bold claim, not being a prophet, not being a great sage, but being God, to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It's his claim. His claim is God. It is truly unfortunate, and I'm not a prophet. I just know what I hear a lot and am one to watch. I can guarantee you that in tens of thousands of Catholic churches today, if they even bring that part up, even if they bring that part up, they will try to explain away why it says what it does. Jesus Christ's exclusive statement that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one will come to the Father but through him. Well, by him might mean this and that, but it doesn't. To say any different contradicts the Lord of glory. That's all there is to it. We can come up with things that make us feel better about other people, but it contradicts what Jesus Christ says, God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. When he says he's the way, he doesn't mean a method. In English, it falls short because we can pick it up. We can, oh, the way. That's the way, the method that we get to the Father, like it's some kind of philosophical construct. That's not what he means by the way. St. Jose Maria, the most popular book that he wrote in English, the title is The Way. If you pick that up, you can think, oh, that means the method. No, it doesn't. It was originally written in Spanish, and it's Camino. It is the road, the pathway to heaven. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the only pathway. That's what he said. I am the way. I am the road. I am the pathway to heaven. No one comes to the Father on any other pathway, which flies in the face of all this nonsense that there are many pathways to heaven. No, there's not. You contradict Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when you say that there is. He leads us beyond things that are temporal. That's why when we come to Mass, I can't emphasize enough this whole thing about the Eucharist. One of the things that we read in Hebrews chapter 10 is when our Lord said, St. Paul says, by the blood of Jesus, he opened to us the curtain. They used to go into a temple and kill animals day after day after day after day. Once the eternal God has opened that curtain with his shed blood, eternal blood, you never have to do anything like that again. You just have to come in and in faith and obedience grasp what the Eucharist is, receiving God Almighty himself into your very being. He is the way. He is the truth. We hate that word in our day and age, truth. We live in a world of little Pontius Pilates. What is truth? That's your truth. That's your truth. We don't have to figure it out because we've been told by God what the truth is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All these other prophets, this, that, the other thing, law keeping, that's not the truth. I'm the truth. You have to go through me to get to the Father. No relativism whatsoever. I am the life. We in our fallen condition can even mess that one up. Well, everybody likes life. But we like life so much anymore in this day and age. We like life so much that is actually led us into a culture of death. I'm so hot and bothered and fanatical and eager for my life to be happy, I can do things like kill an unborn child because that will mess my life up. So my view of the fanatical eagerness to life, I can kill another one. Euthanasia. They don't have a good quality of life. Who are you to say that? Who is anyone to say that? That might be God's last-ditch effort, their sufferings, to bring him to himself. Maybe nothing else has worked in their entire life. Maybe nothing else. So here, that's their last minute. They're getting rid of, I'm going to put some suffering on them to let them know that they can't be self-sufficient, that they're not in control of everything, and they might come to me. Oh, no. God's trying to do something with them. Let's end that right now. Their quality of life. As I said before, God gives and takes life. That's why it is so heinous for us to take it upon ourselves to do so. These are God's truths. These are not my truths. These are not, well, that's traditional. No, it's not. It's just God. He is the cornerstone. The reading told us today that he is a stone that has become the head of the corner. He is our foundation. The foundation for our entire lives. He is not our foundation will become waltzing into the doors of the church. He should be the cornerstone of everything that we do, our approach to everything. He has become the head of the corner. And if you don't accept what he says, it says in the same breath that he has become a stone to make men stumble or to make men fall. In another place, it actually says he is a stone that will crush them to dust. Same stone, different consequences for the way different people accept that stone. He who has seen me has seen the Father. For us as Catholics particularly, the same Lord Jesus Christ who laid in the manger, the same Lord Jesus Christ who hung on the cross, is the exact same Jesus Christ whom you will receive into yourself today if you are properly disposed and a Roman Catholic. He who has seen me has seen the Father. We have heard the Father's words through the Son. We have to accept them because if we do, then he is truly the cornerstone for us. We do not want to be on the other side where he may make us stumble, may make us fall, or may crush us to dust. In the Father, and in the Son, and in the Holy Ghost.